unless I forget to take an offering, but I don't think I will, because if I do, you guys always remind me. Why don't you take your Bibles to two passages of Scripture this evening. One is in Luke, the second chapter. You read earlier this afternoon in Melissa's house. And you have been sitting a while. Let's stand together. I started to say, I think sometimes the music that we sing is best just a cappella, just without any musical instruments. That last song, Silent Night, that was just beautiful. And it was a blessing. Most of us, it makes it a little easier. Most of us know most of the Christmas songs, I think. But what a joy it is to sing them. Let's read the first 14 verses of Luke 2. I am not going to speak long tonight. You've been singing long. The young people, they were a blessing. I love the young people when they get up here and sing and move their arms every different way, you know, play with lights, everything that they do. I just think it's awesome. I will tell you this, down the road when they're all in this choir, you'll be amazed at how good the choir is because those young people have been singing for all these years. And God does use it. Let's read the first 14 verses. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Father, once again we say thank you for allowing us to be here to express worship and the Christmas music that we all had the awesome privilege to sing. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the privilege we have to read the Word of God together. We know that that is a part of worship as well. And now when we just take a few moments to meditate on the truth of God's Word, we know that's the most important part of worship. So I pray that you would get the clutter out of our minds and you would turn our minds and hearts toward the things of God. I can't imagine they'd be anywhere else after we sang all that we sang. But anyway, Father, please bless now just a few things that I'll say this evening for your own glory and for our good in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Tuesday morning, well, it'll be Tuesday all day, it'll be Christmas. And what is one of the biggest, you guys can take your Bibles to John 3:16. What is one of the biggest things people think about when they think about Christmas? Presents. Gifts. Christmas trees, but they think about gifts. I'm going to be honest, I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing. God was a giver. Look what he said in John 3:16. Jamie asked me, recently, do you ever use John 3:16 when you preach that? So here you go, Jamie, right now we're using it, okay? Because this is the only verse she has marked in her Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God gave. God is a giver. So I don't think it's a bad thing at all that we give gifts. As a matter of fact, I think it's a good thing. It might not be the best thing, but I think it sets a tone. Because Christmas is about giving. God giving to us. God gave us his Son. We can never match that gift. There's not anything I can give that could even come close to matching that gift. God gave us, when he gave us his son, he gave us, to those that believe in him, the gift of everlasting life. What in the world could somebody give for the gift of everlasting life? There's nothing we can do to match that. So God was a giver. And so I want to just mention a few things tonight, just to stir your mind a little bit, about some gifts that I think God gave us that we need to be thankful for. And that's what we're going to talk about. The first gift that I can think of that I am thankful for, and if you're a believer, I would have to think that this is number one on your list, is you are thankful for salvation. How in the world could you not be thankful for the gift of salvation? That is exactly what salvation is. Turn to Romans 5. We'll read there in just a moment. But salvation is the gift of God. There's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to work for it. There's nothing you to can merit God's favor, where God says, boy, this person is just so awesome, I think I'll just grant to them the gift of everlasting life. There's nothing you can do. It's only what Jesus did. He paid our sin debt. In Romans 6:23, it says what? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. And then it says over there in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's a gift. Now I want you to notice here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 15, I think. Now you follow along. I'm going to make some pauses, and when I make a pause, I want you to fill in the blank. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be made dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not so it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. I think it's six times in there, if I counted right, but you can recount them if you want to, that it says gift or free gift. God is a giver, and he gave us the gift of everlasting life. The fact is that most precious gift that God could ever give any of us is salvation through his Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God for my salvation. Most of you have probably heard my testimony. But I remember the day that I found a gospel tract in a laundromat. I remember it just like it was yesterday. I can review it in my mind over and over and over again. Now, I was raised in a church. I knew about God. I knew God existed. Knowing God existed is nothing. The devils know that. The devils believe also and they tremble. But I remember just like it was yesterday, and I reached in and I over to that table and picked up that gospel tract, Ford Porter's tract, God's Super Plan of Salvation. And I read that thing and read that thing and read that thing. Boy, God began to get a hold of my heart. I switched my laundry from that wash machine to the dryer, and I came back and I read that gospel tract through another 3-4 times. Man, I was under conviction. I felt about that big, maybe smaller. Man, I felt dirty, guilt. I got my laundry done. I folded it the way most men would fold it. I threw it in the laundry basket and said, good enough. And I headed out to the door, and I put my clothes in the pickup truck there, and sitting in the front seat of a pickup truck, I bowed my head and I said, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin, and I am accepting what Jesus Christ did for me right now as my personal Savior. And I was saved. Nobody had to tell me to go to church. Nobody had to tell me that I had to be under the ministry of the Word of God. I just knew. I went back to the Mass one time, and I said, something seriously wrong with this place. I didn't know what it was. I had no clue what it was, but I knew there was something wrong with it. So I started looking for a Bible church, and I ended up in this church. I can't believe that in 1981 or 2, whatever it was, I ended up in this church, and I'm still in this church. I don't like to move, I guess. But that's where I've been. You know, I remember that just like it was yesterday. I will tell you, I'm thankful for the gift of salvation. I'm thankful that when a young person or an old person walks up to me and says, Pastor, you know, I'd like to be saved. What a blessing it is to take your Bible, take the Word of God, and show somebody how they can be saved. I mean, that's such a privilege and such an awesome experience. Let me say, when you get up tomorrow, you ought to gather your families around and bow your heads, and you ought to thank God for the gift of salvation. And you might want to do this. You've sang enough tonight, but it never hurts to sing too much, I guess. You might want to sing Happy Birthday to Jesus sometime tomorrow. Man, I'm thankful for salvation. There's another gift that I'm thankful for, and I don't think we recognize this enough. I'm thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, God gave us His Spirit. Now, I got this gift at the very moment I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. But you know what the Spirit of God does? He leads me, and He guides me, and He directs me, and He teaches me, and I believe He'll use me. You say, well, that sounds arrogant. Listen, I think if you're right with God, God can use you. That's a sane assessment of our gifts. I don't do this Christian thing alone. I don't have to live my Christian life alone. The Spirit of God is with me. And you know, if there were no people around, and obviously there will probably always be people around, but if there weren't, I would still be in the very presence of the Holy Spirit of God because He indwells us. And everything that I need, all the gifts that I need to live for God, He has given to me. By the way, if you're a saved person, He's giving them to you also. It's provided by God. I guess because when we look at it in a certain way, God's given us those things, we could say, wow, Merry Christmas to me. Look at everything God gave me. You say, well, I want to live for God. You can. God's provided all you need. And He has provided you the gift of the Holy Spirit to help you accomplish that goal. So I just want to mention quickly, first of all, the gift of salvation, the gift of the Spirit. I'll mention thirdly, by the way, all good gifts come from God. Do you know God has given us the gift to serve Him? It's not a drudgery to serve the Lord. If you have your Bible there, flip on over to Ephesians, the third chapter. That's a prayer request I want to mention a little bit later. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7. Paul said, unto me, who am less than the least of the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, I'm a pastor. Obviously, I preach a lot. Some of you are Sunday school teachers. Some of you teach in junior church. Some of you work in Patch and in Pee Wee and Scooter and all the other classes we have. You know, you have an unbelievable privilege to teach God's Word. The influence that you can have, I didn't count the young people that were up here this morning, but you know the influence that we get to have on all these children's lives? That's tremendous. We have in our, how many kids are in the co-op? 50-ish kids? Do you realize how much influence we get to have on all those kids in that co-op? A lot of them out of our church, but a lot of them aren't out of our church. But we get to share the Word of God with them every 3 days a week, every day that they're here. Now that's a blessing. That's a privilege to be able to do that. This, look at chapter 4 and verse 7. Did we read 3:7 yet? Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. And then chapter 4 and verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, this is a gift to serve the Lord that God's given you for you to enjoy. And you ought to count it a privilege and an honor to serve the God of heaven, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You know, when we announce an evangelism blitz, we had one yesterday, you ought to say, thank God I get to go soul winning. When we announce a work day at church, praise the Lord, I get to go work out at the church. When we announce John and Romans ministry, those of you that are involved in that ministry, praise the Lord you get to do that. You know, those Gospel of John's in the book of Romans, they go all over the world. We have no idea in our church. Chris and I were at a banquet at the Seed Line Ministry last year, and Brother Sandy was announcing the churches that do it on a consistent weekly basis, and we're one of them. And he introduced me and his Pastor Carpenter, and he's from Friendship Baptist Church, and they started doing, and there was a big pause. He says, we don't even know how many John and Romans this church has done. And he goes, I think it's got to be in the millions. Do you know how many times the gospel goes around the world when you put out a million John and Romans? Now, let me just say something. It's not like America. They say that when they go to a foreign country, and that's where most of them go, there'll be an average of 7 people that will read that John and Romans. Now, it's not like that here, I know that, but thank God it's like that over there. It's just a privilege to take the gospel around the world or even right here at home or to our neighbors. The greatest gift of all is to take it to somebody else, hand them a gospel tract, hand them a John and Romans. Praise God, we get to serve him. Can I add something to that? You ought never to think this. Well, I guess I got to go to church. Going to church ought not to be a drudgery. Going to church and sitting under the ministry of the Word of God is an awesome privilege, and you ought to be thankful for that. You know, I'd rather be in church than anywhere else. Sometimes I hear a preacher say, well, I'd rather be in church than the best prison. Well, that's true. But I'd rather be in church than just about anywhere else I can think of. You know what you ought to ask yourself a question? What can I do for the church? What can I do for God through the ministry of the local church? Because ultimately, our ministry is supposed to be through the local church. He's given you salvation, that's if you're saved. He's given you the Holy Spirit of God. He has equipped you with all that you need to serve him, and he has given you the gift to serve him with, whatever that gift that it is. It's only reasonable that we serve him, isn't it? Only reasonable. You see, it's a privilege. It's not a heartache. Some say, oh, I got to go to church. I never say, oh, I got to go to church. You know what I say? Praise the Lord, I get to go to church. That's the right attitude. Now, let me just say this. I said I wouldn't speak long. I'm going to keep my word. Before you tear open those presents tomorrow, or Tuesday, I mean, whatever day it is, you ought to stop and thank God for his gifts. Now, by the way, God didn't have to provide any of these things for you. He didn't have to provide salvation. He didn't have to provide the Spirit of God. He didn't have to provide you with any gifts which he has given to you to serve him. But he did. And you ought to be sure that you thank him and you sing to him. Now, I want every head bowed, every eye closed. I want Faith to slip to the piano. Where is Faith? Oh, there she is. I want you to stop and think about something. I mentioned only 3 things there that you can be thankful to God for. But in a moment, Faith is going to play, and I want you to stop and think of some other things that you can thank God for yourself. I have a few other things written down. Your family, if you're married, your spouse, your health, answers to prayer. You can thank God for practical things, your job, your automobile, protection. You say, well, you know, God didn't provide all that stuff for me. Oh, yes, he did. Provision. Your home, I suppose this time of year you might want to thank God, your home with this got heat in it. But let's pray. Pray the Spirit of God prompt your heart and mind that you can tonight, in just a few minutes of meditation on being thankful, think about some things that you can thank the Lord for. Go ahead, Faith. You can pray right there in your seat. You can pray with your family if you'd like. But you ought to pray. I'm going to be quiet, and you ought to give thanks and praise and worship to the Lord. Thank you. right, I'll make just a few announcements while ushers, you're coming. One prayer request.